All right. I'd like to say that this is a very sensitive period, but no specific action has been taken as of yet. The other thing is there are options that the National Board is considering. They're very sensitive. There's been evidence that Empire State is watching what we're doing, so we don't really want to give them ammunition to use against us by revealing information that's sensitive and that may screw up our chances of moving forward smoothly, as smoothly as possible. But no specific actions have been taken as of yet. There's some indication that we might have a little more time, and there's a little bit less franticness about Empire State moving against us at this time. There's some indication of that. It's not certain. There is a motion moving forward to consider signal swaps. That takes time. We have to see if there are any available. All of the buildings have been appraised, so that's happened. That gives us information. The National Board has gotten expert advice from bankruptcy attorneys. I can't detail all of that advice. But just to tell you, this is public information about what happens with a signal swap. Now, I'll tell you that very briefly. First, there has to be a signal swap offer, and due diligence has to be done on both sides. The person who wants to buy a signal, one of our signals, and swap it for another signal, and on our side, that takes legal advice, and the board has to review it. That would take at minimum 2 months. Then the bylaws mandate that we must have a membership vote for a signal sale or swap. That would take at least 4 months. So that's 6 months. Then after that, there's a 90-day FCC approval process. Minimum 90 days. So that brings it to 9 months at the earliest possible time that a signal swap could happen. Now, in that FCC approval period, 30 days of that is a public comment period. And if anyone makes a negative public comment, it could just be one public comment in opposition to this, that could delay a signal swap process to a year, 2 years, or more. So, and I would assume that if it is not a tremendously beneficial signal swap for a signal, New York or Houston or D.C. or anything, that there will be considerable opposition and possibly lawsuits, which would delay the process. So the National Board is looking at this because it's not like a snap. Okay, we'll do a signal swap. We'll all agree, and bingo, we have, you know, in a month we're going to have $10 million and a different signal. No, that's not how it works. It can be a very lengthy and uncertain process because there's no guarantee that the membership is going to accept a signal swap. That's another thing. You know, the membership vote has to be done. Number one, it has to reach quorum. The quorum for any kind of vote like this is 10%. Now, in several LSV elections at KPFK, our station did not reach quorum. A 10% quorum is very hard to reach. That's number one. Plus, the members have to decide to approve the signal swap. All these are big ifs. So these are the dynamics that the National Board is looking at and groping with. And believe me, it's very, very difficult because we're in serious debt. But we do have enormous assets. The assets of Pacifica are in the range of between, I'd say, $120 and $140 million. So the whole foundation is not going to go away. Particularly KPFK is not in jeopardy of not existing anytime soon. But right now we're going to have to sell some asset or other, probably, in order to stay in business as a foundation. But there's no doubt that we are going to remain in business. So that's the situation as best as I can describe it.
Okay. Thank you, Grace. Jan?
I just want to make clear that when Grace talked about selling an asset, that assets include both signals and real estate. There's also personal property, but I don't think there's, you know, there. I don't know about any diamond rings or other kind of personal property that's going to bring in any kind of large amounts of money. There's also loans that are possible, but you know, loans have to be secured by something. So all of those, and you know, and might be repaid by you know, if there was a signal swap. And does everybody understand what a signal swap is? Okay, just so we don't. I mean, I didn't understand it when it first came up, so I just want to make sure everybody does understand it. So I think that that Grace's report pretty much covers the basic financial situation. Earlier there was a question about the pension plans and what's happening with the pension plans, and the statement that the plan administrator is actually looking into, and I'm working with the plan administrator and with the union to try to resolve how to pay for the at least our local pensions and also just straighten it out, and it's a complex situation. It's not one that we can just say, oh, let's just put the money in, because we have two pension plans and they're part of a larger pension plan. So it's complex, and it's not just a matter of, oh, just pay the pension plan, because they have to figure out where to put the pension money and how to put it in for only KPFK employees, because that's all that we have any control over at the moment. There's also, just to report on the fact that every year there's affiliate elections on the national level, and those elections are coming up. There will be elections at the December 21st meeting of the national board. Just to clarify the general manager search procedure, so now that the local station board has authorized the list to be sent to the general manager, I'm the interim executive director, will be looking at those, interviewing those people, presumably looking at the resumes, doing reference checks and so forth, and hopefully sometime this month making a decision. And there's no doubt that there will be overlap with Christine, and I think that the idea of that Christine would be disappeared from KPFK is hopefully not the case. I was going to suggest that maybe make sure that there's money in the budget to hire Christine in some way, shape, or form. And so I don't know if we need to deal with that now, but that is definitely something that I've been thinking about. There's also we're in the process of the National Personnel Committee is in the process of working on doing an executive director search, and that process is going on right now, because
Bill Crozier's there as an interim, and so hopefully we're going to get, you know, somebody who's a professional executive director soon. So I think that is all the points that I wanted to bring up. And after Mansoor, any questions we can deal with.
Mansoor?
I didn't make it to the last finance committee meeting. I think Ken was there, so I defer some time to Ken to do a report. I missed that one. It was last week. Was it? Am I right? It was this past week, right? Or we didn't meet?
No meeting.
No meeting. So we haven't had any finance meeting at all for a few months.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, just one.
November.
There's so many meetings that I've... Yeah. I concur that no decision has been made, and things are happening, but we don't know what exactly is. That's it.
Thank you, Mansoor. I'll take a
second. I actually have one more point.
Go ahead, Janet.
Okay, and that is just an update on some of the litigation, and that is that... with regard to the lawsuit by Sharon Brown and Adriana Kazanave and Afian Nwangaza, there was an order to by the trial court to reinstate Sharon Brown and to not reinstate Afian Nwangaza, and to and that the Adriana Kazanave litigation was started prematurely. That order has been appealed, and on the basis that stayed because on the basis that when you appeal from a mandatory order, the status quo is stayed until the appeal is heard. And when an order says you have to do this, that, or the other, that's a mandatory order. So during the appeal process, that according to the normal litigation, that order is stayed. There's been the attorney for the plaintiffs has filed a motion for contempt of court, and that matter responses are due now, and I'm not sure what date that hearing is going to be held, but I just wanted to update everybody on that litigation. Let me just say that the contempt of court is the issue of whether or not it's a mandatory order or a prohibitory order is the legal question that the judge will be resolving.
Okay, so tell us what the difference between a mandatory order and a prohibitory order is. I mean, how does that affect us?
So for instance, if the order said remove Jan Goodman, Jan Goodman is on the local station board, don't remove her. That would be a prohibitory order. A mandatory order would be an order saying, a prohibitory order would be something saying you can't do something. A mandatory order is saying is that you have to do something. You have to change the status quo.
Okay, got it. So if it's a mandatory order, then the appeal is stayed. If it's a prohibitory order, then we need to put Sharon back in place during the appeal.
So a mandatory order, since the order is asking to change the status quo because she's off, to put her back on, that would be a mandatory order. And that's why
it would stay while it's on appeal.
Yes.
If it's a prohibitory, or if the court for the contempt case determines that it's a prohibitory order, not a mandatory order, then the appeal does not stay.
Correct.
Okay, got it. So I have a stack, Steve, Maggie, Roberta. So go ahead, Steve.
Can I go after Roberta and Maggie then? I'd like to go third, if I may.
Go ahead, Maggie.
Oh, I thought Roberta was first.
Yeah, Roberta.
I just have never really...
Can I use the mic?
Oh, here. Thank you.
Gently put it down.
And let's try to be concise and ask questions, not...
This is a comment.
Okay, thank you.
I've never really asked or even thought before, are our archives an asset at risk along with the buildings and the signals? And have they ever been, do we have any way to protect that?
I can answer that. I spoke to Brian DeShazer, who had been our archives director for 19 years, about this particular question quite a while ago, maybe 8 or 9 months ago, because I thought, gee, this is an asset. Maybe we can monetize that asset. And he said that there were efforts by somebody in New York who owned an archive of WBAI property and other property personally. I guess a producer, got quite a big archive, and he tried to sell it. And the situation is that they're basically not sellable until they're digitized. There's really no value because nobody wants 50-year-old decaying cellulose tape. It's quite an expensive, lengthy, and complicated process to digitize our archives. So it's not something that we can auction off in part or in whole totally and get any real value from it. Otherwise, you know, it probably would be on the chopping block along with our other assets. Unfortunately, it's not. We can't really get any significant amount of money for the archives. It's really valuable, and it'll be really valuable after it's digitized. And also, the other reason is that some of the copyrights are in question. So there was no clear designation of copyright. So that's a whole other process. So without knowing, we don't have clear copyright ownership of all of the archives, only some. So to discern that, it would be really difficult.
Okay,
that'll be done when they're digitized.
Yeah, I'm not going to use the microphone. Everybody can hear me, right?
No. Yes. Your radio.
Yeah, I don't need a microphone. My question is about the... I've never really understood. I'm starting to figure out a lot of things about the way the boards are set up and the bylaws, and, you know, it is a very complicated process, but... many of the things I completely disagree with, and I'm looking forward to some of these amendments later today. But my question is, I guess from the old timers that created, you know, these laws, why are we having another election next month? And given the absolute chaotic and you know, tragic situations that we're facing right now throughout the network, WBAI and so many other, you know, this huge amount of debt. Why would we have an election? I don't understand. Why does it seem like such short periods of time and then all of a sudden, you know, we start... Explain to me like I'm 8 years old... how this all works and why we have to have elections that cost money that we don't have. Thank you.
Are we talking about the national elections that all the members vote on? Are the So there's the affiliate elections are just elections of who is going to be the affiliate representatives to the national board, and that is an election that only the Pacifica National Board votes on, just the PNB. So it's not like everybody in the world is involved. It's just the National Board is involved, and it's just, you know, 22
people. How long are our board members on the board, on the PNB? I don't know.
So National Board members are elected for a year only. So our local station board, every year we have to elect representatives to the national board. So that will happen in January, and I think it's January 23rd or something like that.
21st.
January 21st will be the election that we elect a new set of people, or there will be an election for people to go to the National Pacifica National Board at on January 21st. But it's just, you know, just the people on the local station board. It's very important that everyone come, but it's just the local station board. However, next year, there will be elections of LSB members all over the network.
And every 3 years?
It's 2 out of 3 years. So there'll be an election of like half of the LSB will get elected next year, and then the other half the year after that, and then no election the following year. And that's the way that the bylaws were set up. And there's been a lot of discussion about why we don't have self-perpetuating boards. Like a lot of boards, the majority of boards, of corporate boards in this country are self-perpetuating boards. You know, the present board members, they look for somebody else to elect and they elect those people. And then they just keep, you know, electing people to the board. But our board and the Pacifica National Board was self-perpetuating previously, prior to 2005, whatever it was that these new bylaws came into effect. 2003? Okay. So there were self-perpetuating boards at that time that were kind of semi-self-perpetuating. There was local, what were called the labs, the equivalent of local station boards, like nominated people to the national board, but the national board didn't have to put them on. They could or they could not, depending on how they felt about it. And there was a revolution, you might say, in among the grassroots people who said, we don't want to be just like at the whim of the national board. We want to actually be able to elect people that we want on the national board. And that's when why these bylaws were written. And that's why, you know, the membership gets to vote on the national, on the local station board members. And yes, it's very costly. And it's kind of the cost of democracy. And, you know, the idea of self-perpetuating boards sounds good as long as, you know, as long as I get to pick who's on it, it's fine. But if, you know, somebody else who, you know, if Grace gets to pick it, no, I don't want her picking who it should be. It should be just people I pick. And so that's the problem. That's the problem with self-perpetuating boards is you have the wrong...
The same pattern exists.
I call the orders of the day. This has gone on for 5-10 minutes already.
I just like a minute to.
No, it's we don't.
Lauren,
the bylaws are online.
Can we postpone the elections?
No.
Yeah, I think I'm next, Jamie.
I vote that we do.
I was after
How about
Maggie.
I didn't convert it. Maggie, I have you first.
Well, right, but I asked you.
Okay, I'll put you back on the staff.
All right,
but Lawrence hasn't asked yet.
No, I asked to be third after these two guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Please go ahead, Steve.
I just want to understand on moving against our money. Generally, if you got a court order, you present that to the bank that you want to take the funds from, and they put a hold on those funds, and they notify the owner of the funds that they do have a hold on it, and they're intending to deliver it to, in this case, the Empire State Building. And then, so we shouldn't be facing a situation where we can wake up one day and then all of a sudden the money is gone. Is anybody in concurrence on that or understand anything what I'm saying here?
Okay, Grace, you want to respond?
We get it.
Yeah.
Well,
I can respond very quickly.
efforts have been taken by the National Board and the National Office to make it difficult for funds to be taken out of our bank accounts. So it wouldn't be that easy. So there has been some preparation to prevent that from happening or delay it.
Can I respond? I mean, and in addition, we are, Grace indicated this, but we are in contact with the Empire State Building, and we are hoping to get a written forbearance agreement, which so far we have not gotten. However, they've indicated that as of now, they're much more interested in us obtaining the funds and giving it to them rather than them having to go and
Who's in contact with them? Who's our point person on this? Is it Crozier, Bill Crozier, or Sam Agarwal?
Yeah, I think this questions are more appropriate for
Basically, it's our lawyer.
Okay. The lawyer handling the case.
Yes.
Okay, but what about who's our party man in Pacifica on this issue? Is it Bill Crozier or is it Sam Agarwal?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the, you know, executive officers. It's,
okay.
You know.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Fernando?
Two very good questions. Grace, you did mention that we do have about $100,000 worth of assets.
Million.
That includes commercial and non-commercial licenses. Are all of them on the table if we had to get rid of them? And my second question is to Jan. Jan, given the prohibitory and mandatory orders coming from the judge, there's rumors out there at this point that if we do not comply, some members of the board will be facing a penalty, financial penalty, and perhaps even some days in jail. How truthful are those rumors? Should we believe any of it?
Rumor? I don't understand that.
I understand.
Rumors are
not. I understand. Okay.
Yeah, we need
Contempt of court, you can be fined. If you're found guilty of contempt of court, you could be fined. You know, you could also potentially be put in jail. Am I worried about myself being put in jail under the circumstances? No, not at all. Am I worried about a financial penalty? No, because, you know, it's a very common thing to have, have an injunction and then have an appeal. And it's not something that you normally, if you're going through the judicial procedures, you're normally not going to all of a sudden find yourself in contempt of court. I mean, you had an appeal, and the appeal, you know, you failed all your appeals, and then you're still not doing it. Okay, then you're in a, you know, can start worrying. But when you're in the middle of this, no, I wouldn't. Yeah, but I don't think it's not like a lie. It could. You know, if you're guilty of contempt of court, the court has a lot of leeway as to what they want to do.
My question to Grace is still pending.
Okay.
Non-commercial and commercial licenses, are they all on the table?
Every asset of Pacifica is on the table.
Thank you. Lawrence?
So, we all sit here as fiduciaries of the of KPFK and
Pacifica.
And at our previous meeting, Director Aaron told us that she needed to seek legal opinion as to whether she can go into executive session with us and be candid with us in regards to what's on the table or which way we're going and what's happening.
Okay, so what's the question?
The question is, did you seek that legal opinion? And why is it that you can't be candid with us? We are fiduciaries, and we took an oath, you know, to uphold the bylaws of the network.
Ms. Aaron, would you like to respond?
You know, the last meeting was only 2 weeks ago, and I noticed that our Pacifica Council has had a huge amount of work to do on other legal issues. And I did do some research myself, which tells me that some of the issues we're dealing with on the national board, the specifics, which are not really necessary for the local board to understand, and they're still being negotiated, would be improper for the national board members to reveal. Because if in closed session, we've had leaky boards in the past. In fact, recently, a non-LSV member in New York published broadly a resolution that the national board decided in closed session, including the exact wording of the resolution and the votes of the resolution. That shows you how our boards are leaky without even revealing them to the, information to the LSV. And it's evident to national board members that the Empire State Building is paying attention to the public statements about Pacifica. So it's my viewpoint from having researched it online and not wanting to bother because this was brought up just recently. But from my search of information on the internet of what should be kept confidential, this is exactly the type of thing that needs to be kept confidential. And we've given you a lot of information, and really any other information that's confidential is trivial. It's not really any big issue. So I don't think that there's anything. We've revealed really just about everything that you would need to know.
Thank you, Ms. Aaron. And could we have a
point of order,
essentially?
I call the motion. What is it called? This is turning into
Mr. Aaron.
Television.
Mr. Aaron, thank you. Mr. Reyes, thank you. Please proceed.
Ms. Aaron, you have essentially told us that you sought your own opinion by doing the research. Well, I appreciate your effort and your energy in doing that. But that the Pacifica Council right now is not available for a couple of weeks, or hasn't been available, to have a brief conversation as to whether, you know, you could be candid with us as to fiduciaries in regards to this, you know, informing us what's on the table, what's not on the table.
No, that's not.
So I think what Ms. Aaron said is that we have been candid, that the directors have been candid with you. It's time to move on to the treasurer's report. Treasurer, do you have a report to us?
Very briefly, you got all the information about our financial condition in the general manager's report. The National Finance Committee didn't meet in its last scheduled meeting. It meted the one before that. It didn't meet the one previous to that. And our budget has been approved by the LSV, and it should be addressed this coming Tuesday, tomorrow night. Tuesday night. And the GM will be on the line for that. So just one thing I wanted to clean up, which might have already been discussed in a previous LSV meeting. We discovered that the place where we have our antenna on Mount Wilson, we had not been paying a lease for that property, and it put it at a risk. And fortunately, with the help of the GM and also our lead technical person at National, John Almella, we got that resolved. So we came out of that danger position. That danger position had been known from previous administrations here at KPFK and was just not addressed. It was ignored. But we could have been evicted because of a failure to comply with the lease, and that was handled, so that's completely resolved. Other than that, everything's about the same, and the GM's report shows that the station, if it stands alone by itself, is in reasonable financial health. And then you're getting everything else about Empire State Building from the directors. That's it, and that's all.
Thank you.
Nothing else to report.
Any questions for the treasurer?
Okay, let's move on to public comments. I am going to remind the public to please be respectful in your comments to the local station board members. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much. Good afternoon. So first, about the question of both the national board and this local board being contempt of court, to Director Goodman's point, there's precedent in the case of Bernstein v. Pacifica 2011 in the same Alameda Superior Court. The judge found that the Pacifica National Board was in contempt because they were preventing two directors, board members, from exercising their rights as members. Okay? So be prepared for certain folks to be fined, and perhaps imprisonment could be on the table. So don't delude yourselves. Secondly, the issue of bylaw amendments. I haven't heard on the airwaves the mandatory three times a day announcements that bylaw amendments are currently being considered. There's a 45-day period mandated by the bylaws for public announcement, both on the airwaves of every station, correct, of the five, and published on pacifica.org. I haven't seen that either. Well, actually, the amendments were published on the 18th of November. It hasn't been 45 days. And then they were modified by Mr. Tanaka, the secretary. There's such a thing called the Wayback Machine. You can find out that certain amendments were proposed after the deadline. This is a blatant violation of the bylaws process for amendments. So the public needs to know the kind of shady business that the boards are engaging in. Okay? And let the record reflect that. I think that for now...
you want to address the...
Yes.
The center paragraph. Well, the California article.
So here's the thing. Pacifica Foundation is a corporation under California nonprofit rules, correct? Corporation code. And so, therefore, it's subject to provisions set forth under the Constitution of the State of California. It must provide full access to people with limited English proficiency. It must not discriminate. Spanish language programming was created for first-generation migrants who do not speak English. Whenever this board or any other board of Pacifica seeks to prevent correct Spanish language programming from being on the air, for instance, during fund drives, this is a problem. This is a discriminatory action and a violation of the civil rights of the people in your signal area. The board should really consider that. And maybe.
Thank you, Paulina.
Thank you.
Okay. KPFK is celebrating 58 years. I don't see any of you wearing your little birthday hats. 58 years is nothing to sneeze about. It has history. It has precedence. It has pioneering. It entails many, many crucial events in history that Pacifica has gone through to get here. We should all be proud of that. However, many of us are not, to date, for all the shitty stuff that goes on. As Paulina has just outlined, 17 of you are here present. How can you possibly have moved this meeting so that less and less people can attend? They're a public station. They're a non-commercial radio station that they care about. Without, just because you don't want to be busy during Christmas time or anything like that, you don't want anything prior to the holidays in your calendar, that is a disservice to the subscribers, the listeners, supporters. The other thing I want to talk about is that this weekend, as we speak, starting yesterday morning, an enormous conference binational between Mexico and the United States, unions, activists, migrant workers, farm workers traveled, many were denied visas. Many traveled to the United States to attend this conference. Instead of me being there all day, I had to leave and come here. I was there yesterday. We had workshops talking about many issues. Where should that have been? On live streaming, KPFK. Live streaming. It was not. It is not. The important issues that the community is fighting for, no regard. But the regard for control continues to prevail at every second. And I'll finish by saying quickly that, and this is the binational conference with its workshops done very, very, it was exciting yesterday, well prepared. Skype from San Quintin from Mexico, the farm workers. Here is the entire schedule of workshops. It was just incredible, well attended. KPFK Spanish programmers do a lot for KPFK to promote the station. They go as far as doing little pens with little, you know, to promote the station. It's very difficult to promote KPFK under this terrain right now. Very difficult. Very difficult for me morally. Imagine how everybody else, and I've been at this fight for many years. Something has got to give, because KPFK cannot stand any more lawsuits, right? How are we going to carry them? So what has to give? All of us coming to work together. This has got to stop. Like yesterday. And now we're going into elections again? Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Bella.
Nancy Lawrence, County Chair of the Peace and Freedom Party here in Los Angeles. I want to make a statement. First, I support the Spanish programming. It should be also on doing the fund drive in Spanish. We have immigrants coming up here or been forced out of their country by neoliberalism and capitalism and also climate change. So there's going to be a lot more people coming up. But I have a question. First, I was at an event yesterday with Margaret Prescott, and she talked a little bit. And by the way, we were able to raise several thousand dollars. I don't know the exact amount, but that was pretty good. By, you know, fundraising, you know, just telling what was going on in KPFK. But she said that the Empire State Building people are literally trying to destroy, you know, through WBII, the Pacifica Network in general, by not allowing people to put a signal in another place. Now, I'm going to ask a technical question. I want to know, because this is a new term to many of you here, and this is, how does a single swipe work? Anybody can answer that question.
It was explained earlier.
It's a swap, not a swipe.
Yeah, swap. Swap, okay.
Anything, because swipe would be a problem.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, that's all. That's it.
Thank you.
Yeah, the answer is it's very complicated.
Like cap and trade.
Yeah, like
Catherine.
Hi, good afternoon. So first, I'm Elise. I want to concur with everything that was said by my compatriots here, who are member listeners.
Supporters,
exactly. And I want to follow up on something that Bella said about membership and being in the community. She referred to a big event, and I know our general manager mentioned that we need more listeners, right, comparing to other stations. They have so many listeners that is how they get their funding. Well, you know, we are not public radio. We're community radio.
That's
and
right.
I think we need to emphasize that we are community radio, and we need to be in the community. And if we were actually in the community, we would have a lot more membership, right? And if every member paid $25, and we had thousands of members, even hundreds of thousands, you know, folks, this is L.A.
Yeah.
It's a huge city, right? We would have all the funds that we needed. It wouldn't be so complicated. We just need to be out there in the community as a board, as well as the programmers, and all of us need to be out there supporting all the great community work that's going on in the city. And I wanted to point out, I don't know who put together these papers. They're done to save money, which is wonderful, on previously used paper. But whoever did it should know that they breached someone's confidentiality. On the back of my form is somebody's medical, private medical information.
What form?
It was online.
Can you...
It was online.
Okay, well, but still, I don't know who that is. And in any case,
I will take my paper that I wrote on, and you can have that.
So somebody needs to be accountable for this kind of stuff, because that is illegal, right? And folks could get into trouble for stuff like that as a board. And you know, I think it's really sad. It's such a waste of time dealing with all this Empire State Building stuff at this point. I know that you all knew way ahead of time that this was possibly coming down the pike. And the National Board chose not to look into any of the possibilities ahead of time. You could have done all the research months ahead, and then when it came down to the wire, you would know what you needed to do. Instead, now, after the fact, you're all rushing around doing all this research, which, you know, I mean, that's pretty sad, right? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Elise.
Where does this go?
I'll put it here.
Okay, is that all for public comment? Thank you very much to the public for their comments. We will move on to Lawrence. I believe you had a motion about going into executive session at this time.
Yes. It was seconded. Can I come speak on the motion?
So we're going to have... Yeah, please, Mr. Aaron, go ahead.
I'd like to motivate it, too.
Okay, should we allow Mr. Reyes to motivate his motion first?
Well, I'm going to speak against going into a closed session to discuss Empire State.
Okay, so Mr. Reyes, if you would like to motivate it, we'll be...
I just want to remind the chair that there was an interest in doing this after the bylaws amendments. So, and I think that was Kent's concern.
Yeah, my concern is to do this after the bylaws.
Are you okay with doing it after the bylaws?
Okay. I just want to say, as a point of order, that I'm going to remove myself from this activity because of the lack of notice and the fact that these bylaws are just a majority slate kind of thing, and I would not be party to that, so I will be in protest.
That's fine, thank you. So we will count that as an abstention.
No, you can't count me. We move myself from the point.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you.
That's fine.
Yeah, he's going to leave the room.
Okay, so do we... yes, I had made an amendment to the motion of going into...
So we're not going to go into closed session until... we're not going to listen to that motion until after we finish the bylaws item on the agenda.
Okay, great.
So we're moving into the bylaws changes. I believe that Grace is going to discuss that. But before she does, I did want to make one note about the bylaws changes. And... that is as it relates to the lawsuit that was spoken about by Ms. Goodman. Some of these bylaws are changes. A couple of these bylaws changes are made to specifically address the matter of the Sharon Brown lawsuit. It changes the wording to make it clear that it's not only elected officials but appointed officials that are to be excluded from membership on the local station board and the Pacifica National Board as a director. So if we decide to approve these bylaws, these specific bylaws on the wording of appointment, as opposed to election, then that would support our position as it regards the Sharon Brown matter.
Okay.
Can we check that up when we get to that bylaws amendment?
Okay.
Yeah, I would like to correct that statement. Or to address that statement, because I don't
believe
it's
accurate.
Can we take the bylaws one at a time and then we can address it at that time? Okay. So do I have a copy of these bylaws amendments? I'm sorry.
Do we need to
do we need to suspend or take a break on this, the LSB meeting, and convene a delegates meeting and make sure that we still have sufficient quorum to vote as delegates?
Ms. Aaron?
We could do that. Just say, you know, during this period, we're now voting as delegates.
So somebody left the room, and I don't know if we are still in quorum.
We have quorum.
Well, do we want to recess or adjourn?
No.
Recess.
I will entertain a motion to recess and go into a delegates assembly at this time.
Second.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, we are now in a delegates assembly meeting.